The Lord is my helper, my redeemer. Fight like a good soldier, and if you sometimes fall through weakness, rise again with greater strength than before, trusting in my most abundant grace. But beware of vain complacency and pride, for many are led into error through these faults, and sometimes fall into almost perpetual blindness. Let the fall of these, who proudly presume on self, be a warning to you and a constant incentive to humility. The seventh chapter. Grace must be hidden under the mantle of humility. The voice of Christ. It is better and safer for you to conceal the grace of devotion, not to be elated by it, not to speak or think much of it, and instead to humble yourself and fear lest it is being given to one unworthy of it. Do not cling too closely to this affection, for it may quickly be changed to its opposite. When you are in grace, think how miserable and needy you are without it. Your progress in spiritual life does not consist in having the grace of consolation, but in enduring its withdrawal with humility, resignation, and patience, so that you neither become listless in prayer nor neglect your other duties in the least, but on the contrary, do what you can do as well as you know how, and do not neglect yourself completely because of your dryness or anxiety of mind. There are many indeed who immediately become impatient and lazy when things do not go well with them. The way of man, however, does not always lie in his own power. It is God's prerogative to give grace and to console when he wishes, as much as he wishes and whom he wishes, as it shall please him and no more. Some careless persons misusing the grace of devotion have destroyed themselves because they wish to do more than they were able. They fail to take account of their own weakness and follow the desire of their heart rather than the judgment of their reason. Then, because they presumed to greater things than pleased God, they quickly lost his grace. They who had built their homes in heaven became helpless, vile outcasts, humbled and impoverished, that they might learn not to fly with their own wings, but to trust in mine. They who are still new and inexperienced in the way of the Lord may easily be deceived and overthrown unless they guide themselves by the advice of discreet persons. But if they wish to follow their own notions rather than to trust in others who are more experienced, they will be in danger of a sorry end, at least if they are unwilling to be drawn from their vanity. Seldom do they who are wise in their own conceits bear humbly the guidance of others. Yet a little knowledge humbly and meekly pursued is better than great treasures of learning sought in vain complacency. It is better for you to have little than to have much, which may become the source of pride. He who gives himself up entirely to enjoyment acts very unwisely, for he forgets his former helplessness and that chastened fear of the Lord which dreads to lose a proffered grace. Nor is he very brave or wise who becomes too despondent in times of adversity and difficulty, and thinks less confidently of me than he should. He who wishes to be too secure in time of peace will often become too dejected and fearful in time of trial. If you were wise enough to remain always humble and small in your own eyes, and to restrain and rule your spirit well, you would not fall so quickly into danger and offense. When a spirit of fervor is enkindled within you, you may well meditate on how you will feel when the fervor leaves. Then, when this happens, remember that the light which I have withdrawn for a time as a warning to you, and for my own glory, may again return. Such trials are often more beneficial than if you had things always as you wish. For a man's merits are not measured by many visions, or consolations, or by knowledge of the Scriptures, or by his being in a higher position than others, but by the truth of his humility, by his capacity for divine charity, by his constancy in seeking purely and entirely the honor of God, by his disregard and positive contempt of self, and more by preferring to be despised and humiliated rather than honored by others. The 8th chapter, Self-Abasement in the Sight of God. The Disciple. I will speak to my Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. If I consider myself anything more than this, behold, you stand against me, and my sins bear witness to the truth, which I cannot contradict. If I abase myself, however, if I humble myself to nothingness, if I shrink from all self-esteem and account myself as the dust which I am, your grace will favor me. Your light will enshroud my heart, and all self-esteem, no matter how little, will sink in the depths of my nothingness to perish forever. It is there you show me to myself what I am, what I have been, and what I am coming to. For I am nothing, and I did not know it. Left to myself, I am nothing but total weakness. But if you look upon me for an instant, I am at once made strong and filled with new joy. Great wonder it is that I, who of my own weight always sink to the depths, am so suddenly lifted up and so graciously embraced by you. It is your love that does this, graciously upholding me, supporting me in so many necessities, guarding me from so many grave dangers, and snatching me, as I may truly say, from evils without number. Indeed, by loving myself badly, I lost myself. By seeking only you and by truly loving you, I have found both myself and you. And by that love I have reduced myself more profoundly to nothing. For you, O sweetest Lord, deal with me above all my merits and above all that I dare to hope. May you be blessed, my God, for although I am unworthy of any benefits, yet your nobility and infinite goodness never cease to do good, even for those who are ungrateful and far from you. Convert us to you, that we may be thankful, humble, and devout, for you are our salvation, our courage, and our strength. The 9th chapter. All things should be referred to God as their last end. The voice of Christ. My child, I must be your supreme last end, if you truly desire to be blessed. With this intention, your affections, which are too often perversely inclined to self and to creatures, will be purified. For if you seek yourself in anything, you immediately fail interiorly and become dry of heart. Refer all things principally to me, therefore, for it is I who have given them all. Consider each thing as flowing from the highest good, and therefore to me, as to their highest source, must all things be brought back. From me the small and the great, the poor and the rich, draw the water of life as from a living fountain, and they who serve me willingly and freely shall receive grace upon grace. He who wishes to glory in things apart from me, however, or to delight in some good as his own, shall not be grounded in true joy or gladdened in his heart, but shall be burdened and distressed in many ways. Hence you ought not to attribute any good to yourself, or ascribe virtue to any man, but give all to God, without whom man has nothing. I have given all things. I will that all be returned to me again, and I exact most strictly a return of thanks. This is the truth by which vainglory is put to flight. Where heavenly grace and true charity enter in, there neither envy nor narrowness of heart nor self-love will have place. Divine love conquers all and enlarges the powers of the soul. If you are truly wise, you will rejoice only in me, because no one is good except God alone, who is to be praised above all things and above all to be blessed. The 10th chapter. To despise the world and serve God is sweet. The Disciple. Now again I will speak, Lord, and will not be silent. I will speak to the hearing of my God, my Lord, and my King who is in heaven. How great, O Lord, is the multitude of your mercies which you have stored up for those who love you. But what are you to those who love you? What are you to those who serve you with their whole heart? Truly beyond the power of words is the sweetness of contemplation you give to those who love you. To me, you have shown the sweetness of your charity, especially in having made me when I did not exist, in having brought me back to serve you when I had gone far astray from you, in having commanded me to love you. O fountain of unceasing love, what shall I say of you? How can I forget you, who have been pleased to remember me even after I had wasted away and perished? You have shown mercy to your servant beyond all hope, and have exhibited grace and friendship beyond his deserving. What return shall I make to you for this grace? For it is not given every man to forsake all things, to renounce the world, and undertake the religious life. Is it anything great that I should serve you, whom every creature is bound to serve? It should not seem much to me. Instead, it should appear great and wonderful that you condescend to receive into your service one who is so poor and unworthy. Behold, all things are yours, even those which I have and by which I serve you. Behold, heaven and earth, which you created for the service of man, stand ready, and each day they do whatever you command. But even this is little, for you have appointed angels also to minister to man. Yea, more than all this, you yourself have condescended to serve man, and have promised to give him yourself. What return shall I make for all these thousands of benefits? Would that I could serve you all the days of my life. Would that but for but one day I could serve you worthily. Truly, you are worthy of all service, all honor, and everlasting praise. Truly, you are my Lord, and I am your poor servant, bound to serve you with all my powers, praising you without ever becoming weary. I wish to do this. This is my desire. Do you supply whatever is wanting in me? It is a great honor, a great glory to serve you and to despise all things for your sake. They who give themselves gladly to your most holy service will possess great grace. They who cast aside all carnal delights for your love will find the most sweet consolation of the Holy Ghost. They who enter upon the narrow way of your name and cast aside all worldly care will attain great freedom of mind. O sweet and joyful service of God, which makes man truly free and holy. O sacred state of religious bondage, which makes man equal to the angels, pleasing to God, terrible to the demons, and worthy of the commendation of all the faithful. O service to be embraced and always desired, in which the highest good is offered, and joy is won which shall remain forever. The 11th chapter. The longings of our hearts must be examined and moderated. The voice of Christ. My child, it is necessary for you to learn many things which you have not yet learned well. The disciple. What are they, Lord? The voice of Christ. That you conform your desires entirely according to my good pleasure, and be not a lover of self, but an earnest doer of my will. Desires very often inflame you and drive you madly on, but consider whether you act for my honor or for your own advantage. If I am the cause, you will be well content with whatever I ordain. If, on the other hand, any self-seeking lurk in you, it troubles you and weighs you down. Take care, then, that you do not rely too much on preconceived desire that has no reference to me, lest you repent later on and be displeased with what at first pleased you, and which you desired as being for the best. Not every desire which seems good should be followed immediately, nor, on the other hand, should every contrary affection be at once rejected. It is sometimes well to use a little restraint even in good desires and inclinations, lest through too much eagerness you bring upon yourself distraction of mind, lest through your lack of discipline you create scandal for others, or lest you be suddenly upset and fall because of resistance from others. Sometimes, however, you must use violence and resist your sensual appetite bravely. You must pay no attention to what the flesh does or does not desire, taking pains that it be subjected, even by force, to the spirit, and it should be chastised and forced to remain in subjection until it is prepared for anything and is taught to be satisfied with little, to take pleasure in simple things, and not to murmur against inconveniences. The 12th chapter. Acquiring patience in the fight against concupiscence. The disciple. Patience, O Lord God, is very necessary for me, I see, because there are many adversities in this life. No matter what plans I make for my own peace, my life cannot be free from struggle and sorrow. The voice of Christ. My child, you are right, yet my wish is not that you seek that peace which is free from temptations or meets with no opposition, but rather that you consider yourself as having found peace when you have been tormented with many tribulations and tried with many adversities. If you say that you cannot suffer much, how will you endure the fire of purgatory? Of two evils, the lesser is always to be chosen. Therefore, in order that you may escape the everlasting punishments to come, try to bear present evils patiently for the sake of God. Do you think that men of the world have no suffering, or perhaps but little? Ask even those who enjoy the most delights, and you will learn otherwise. But you will say, they enjoy many pleasures and follow their own wishes. Therefore, they do not feel their troubles very much. Granted that they do have whatever they wish, how long do you think it will last? Behold, they who prosper in the world shall perish as smoke, and there shall be no memory of their past joys. Even in this life they do not find rest in these pleasures without bitterness, weariness, and fear, for they often receive the penalty of sorrow from the very thing whence they believe their happiness comes. And it is just, since they seek and follow after pleasures without reason, they should not enjoy them without shame and bitterness. How brief, how false, how unreasonable and shameful all these pleasures are. Yet in their drunken blindness men do not understand this, but like brute beasts incur death of soul for the miserly enjoyment of a corruptible life. Therefore, my child, do not pursue your lust, but turn away from your own will. Seek thy pleasure in the Lord, and he will give thee thy heart's desires. Footnote 33, Psalm 36, 4. If you wish to be truly delighted and more abundantly comforted by me, behold, in contempt of all worldly things, and in the cutting off of all base pleasures shall your blessing be, and great consolation shall be given you. Further, the more you withdraw yourself from any solace of creatures, the sweeter and stronger comfort will you find in me. At first you will not gain these blessings without sadness and toil and conflict. Habit already formed will resist you, but it shall be overcome by a better habit. The flesh will murmur against you, but it will be bridled by fervor of spirit. The old serpent will sting and trouble you, but prayer will put him to flight, and by steadfast, useful toil the way will be closed to him. The 13th chapter. The obedience of one humbly subject to the example of Jesus Christ. The voice of Christ. My child, he who attempts to escape obeying withdraws himself from grace. Likewise, he who seeks private benefits for himself loses those which are common to all. He who does not submit himself freely and willingly to his superior shows that his flesh is not yet perfectly obedient, but that it often rebels and murmurs against him. Learn quickly, then, to submit yourself to your superior if you wish to conquer your own flesh. For the exterior enemy is more quickly overcome if the inner man is not laid waste. There is no more troublesome, no worry enemy of the soul than you yourself, if you are not in harmony with the Spirit. It is absolutely necessary that you conceive a true contempt for yourself if you wish to be victorious over flesh and blood. Because you still love yourself too inordinately, you are afraid to resign yourself wholly to the will of others. Is it such a great matter if you, who are but